Psycho Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Motorcycle Men podcast. This is episode 435. Hey, today I will be talking with long-distance riders Bob and Cheryl Woodsum. Now, they participated in the Scooter Cannonball this year, and they're here to tell us all about it. All right? But first, the Motorcycle Men podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. To learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. And Wild Ass Seats. You can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, go over to Wild-Ass.com and get your cushion today. And tell the real Craig Johnson over there that the Motorcycle Men podcast sent you over. And as always, Tobacco Motorwear. Now, for the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMEN. Now, everyone here at the podcast is wearing Tobacco riding jeans and a California riding shirt. I'm using the Roper gloves and a bunch of other stuff, and I can't tell you how wonderful these products are. I wear them for every ride. And I won't ride without them. So your safety is worth it. Get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. All right, time for that interview with Bob and Cheryl. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 434 right now. And joining me all the way from, where'd you say you were from?
Massachusetts,
the whole state or just...
Well, you know, Amesbury, Massachusetts.
Northeast corner.
Northeast, okay, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. North of Boston, right?
Yes, yes.
North of Boston. Woonsocket is the one of the towns I know of up there.
I think that's Rhode Island.
No, oh, Woonsocket is Rhode Island. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm terribly sorry, you're right. Okay, well, shame on me. All right. Yes, joining me here, we got Bob and Cheryl. And you guys are just back from a wonderful, wonderful event. Tell us what you did.
We did the Scooter Cannonball.
Woohoo! All right.
This is awesome.
Before we get into that, why don't you tell us who you are, what you do, and motorcycle self and all that.
Okay. My name's Cheryl Woodsum, and I live in Northeast Massachusetts, like you said. And I'm a preschool teacher. And... Yeah. I have had my motorcycle license for 9 years. Uh-huh. My son went to college and I lost my mind, and it was medication or do something else. So I got a motorcycle license.
Good plan. How about you, Bob?
Yeah.
Bob Woodsum. We've been married 30 years. I've been riding 20, 25, something like that, years.
Okay.
I've competed in some of the rallies like Chris Comley has, those type of scavenger hunt things.
Yeah.
Earl's done some of those on the back. I do human resources for a group of car dealers.
There you go. So as far as it goes for your riding, now, do you both have your own bikes?
Yes.
You do? We both have. So yes. Then I'll skip ahead a little bit. Did you guys do the Scooter Cannonball on your own scooters?
Yes.
Each of you did. Okay, great. All right. So... For those who don't know what the Scooter Cannonball is, why don't you tell us about it?
So we did a little research. I guess it first started in 2004. 9 riders rode from Virginia to California. And it seems in the internet age it has exploded, because this year, it runs every 2 years. This year it was 325 registered.
Wow.
For the event. 250 actually started.
Wow. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So it's every 2 years this goes on.
Yes.
Wow. And the route is different every year.
Yeah, it's usually coast to coast from what I'm reading in the archives. I think they did one from Alaska at one point. It's usually coast to coast. This year was Oregon to Texas.
Okay.
I mean, technically that is coast to coast. It's just not all the way to the east coast.
It's just not the east-west thing. It's a coast, right?
It is a coast. It's a coast. It was from one coast to another coast.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's 8 days. And you get up in the morning and you leave the hotel and you get to the host hotel that night and you repeat for 8 days.
Wow. Okay. 8 days of scooter riding. Okay, is there a limit to the size of bike you can ride? Size of scooter?
Yeah, it's just under 300.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
There's a few guidelines. Like you have to be able to, you have to have like five things in order for your scooter to qualify.
To be a scooter, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so like. Okay. So like there was a bunch of little Honda Monkeys there.
I was looking in at the results for this year, and I did see there was some a Super Cub, bunch of Super Cubs. There was a couple Honda Groms. And I was like, what?
Right.
Yeah, we've been passed by Honda Groms.
We were no.
Wow.
Oh yeah. When we were conserving, we were the slowest things out there.
That hurts a little bit.
Was this your first time doing this rally?
Yes.
It was. Wow. Yes. Okay. So let's go. What did you ride? What bikes did you guys use?
So we've been talking about this for a couple of years. So I bought a scooter early on. I did a ton of research. I had a spreadsheet. I'm looking at all the specs, Vespas, all this stuff.
You got a spreadsheet going. Oh boy.
Four valves. I wanted it to be a 150 because I wanted the full scooter experience. Okay. And they said they were more competitive. The pass routes were around 3,000. It looked like 3,200 miles, not the 4,000 ish miles that we dealt with. I wanted ABS because I just like ABS on anything I ride, and I wanted disc brakes.
Okay.
And that brought me to the Kymco, which when we're in Europe, you see tons of these things, but in the U.S. very rare.
Very rare. Yes.
So we bought a couple Kymco like 150i's.
Kymco. All it. You said Kymco like.
Yep. Yep.
Oh. They are like Vespa. They are not.
They do look a little bit like a Vespa.
A lot like a Vespa.
Okay. Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. So their country of origin might be not
Taiwan.
China, right?
No, they're Taiwan. They're actually very reliable and pretty. They're supposedly pretty good machines, but I tell you, they're not made to run wide open 8 days in a row.
They are not meant for.
We tested it, and it's not good.
No.
Now, well, first of all, you guys. You know about the scooter cannonball.
Yeah.
So what makes you decide, hey, let's do this?
Well, so it's our 30th anniversary this year.
Okay.
And well, 2 years ago, Bob came home one day and said, so for our 30th, do you want to do the scooter cannonball? And I thought, yeah, okay. And so we bought scooters. It wasn't a smart choice. It wasn't a good financial choice. But it was an adventure, so we're like, okay, let's do it. And then we dragged two of our friends along with us.
Not that far out of the realm. Like, we're from the Iron Butt community on motorcycles, and we've done the scavenger hunt rally, multi-day rallies, those kind of things.
Okay.
Not the Iron Butt rally, but, you know, the smaller ones.
Right. We do some long, and a lot of long distance riding. Like, we've ridden cross country, you know, in 2 weeks. Because that's all we had for vacation time. So we rode to California and back, and we're used to really long days, and we're used to kind of, you know, grinding it out.
Yeah.
But this was a whole new level.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess. So when you're not riding a scooter, what are you riding?
You go.
Currently, I have a BMW F800 GSA.
Okay. Good bike.
On off-road.
All right. Like okay. It. And you, Cheryl?
Well, so I used to have a BMW GS, a 650, and I had a 310 GS, and I sold them literally the week before the scooter cannonball and bought a Honda NC750X.
Wow. Okay. So you guys are into it then, I could say safely. Sure. Okay.
My BMW had 90,000 miles on it.
Oh, my God. Like, that's great.
We're big riders.
That's good. So. Yeah. Doing this, this wasn't a daunting task to do this. I mean, you weren't apprehensive at all.
No.
No,
that's good.
Not going into it.
We were worried for our friends.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the experience, but we knew they were those type of people that just never say die.
They would be fine.
Okay, that's fine.
And we're
They were rock stars. But it was way harder than anything we ever expected. Like,
well, I mean, you are on a smaller machine, and you're really pushing it to its limits when you really think about it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So, Noelle, what sort of preparation and planning and research did you do prior to the event, in advance of it?
Well, Bob did most of it.
Okay.
We bought scooters, and he said, you should probably ride this because I've never ridden a scooter before. And so we rode it a little bit in the fall last year. I bought it last fall. But I liked my motorcycle better, so I wasn't super excited about practicing on it. So then this year, when it got a little bit warmer, the weather has been terrible. So we didn't get a lot of seat time prior to going, but we did a couple of long days. And then I started to really like it. It's just so easy. Like, you can park it anywhere. You can pull up anywhere. You don't have to worry about, like, a clutch or having it stall. Like, so easy.
Yeah.
And so it grew on me.
Isn't it weird, though? Because
I've
ridden a scooter a couple of times. And I just have a hard time getting used to the fact that I'm turning the handlebars, but the front of the bike is still facing the same way. You know, it's kind of weird. Did that unnerve you? It unnerves me a little bit because I'm turning
that way.
No?
No. I think you mean the headstock stays straight.
Yeah.
The
handlebar. Yeah.
No, ours the headstock turns.
That's a little weird.
I just like that.
Yeah.
The headlight turns with the handlebars.
Now, are the bikes you have, are they step through type?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. Yep. Okay. Wow. All right.
Damn. Yeah, they're generic scooter looking scooters.
So as far as it goes for planning and preparation, I mean, what'd you do about your luggage and things like that?
Well, I did. I did a fair amount of. I researched everything that could go wrong with these things. The most common thing was spark plug cap failure, which is like a spark plug boot. So I bought two spark plug boots. I put one on mine because I had put 7,000 miles commuting on mine the year before because I kind of like it. And the belt lasted. The CVT drive belt lasted 7,000 miles, didn't blow, and I replaced it before the event.
Put a pin in
that, but it lasted 7,000 miles.
Yeah, hold
the event.
That
thought. Wow.
And I had practiced taking it off, replacing barrier, to replacing clutch.
Yep.
And all the tools I needed to do that, I put under the seat. Thought we'd be all set.
Yeah.
Brought a couple spare tires, even though 13 horsepower, you don't need them.
Right. Is that what they had, 13 horsepower?
Oh my God.
But as far as it goes for like your luggage, what did you have?
So we did some practice packing ahead of time because we had them shipped. Motor Shippers came and picked them up to bring them to Oregon.
Oh, I was going to ask you that too.
Yeah. So we figured we'd pack what we could on them. So we sent our like motorcycle gear with the scooters out to Oregon. And that way we didn't have to bring it on the plane to fly there. And then we just brought a backpack and, you know, I mean, you're wearing the same stuff pretty much every day. Like you just rinse it out at night if you have time. If you don't, whatever. Like I wore my LDs for like 5 days in a row.
We've done a lot of European and overseas motorcycle trips.
Yeah.
So we're just a minimalist.
Yeah.
Minimalist packing.
And you get used to the stink after a while, right?
Yeah. The packing part wasn't a big deal. Although in hindsight, we packed them to go out and we packed what we could, and then I couldn't remember what I had packed, so then I brought more than I needed, and then I had a bag that was really too big for the back of the bike. So the first day we were leaving and I put it in my back box and it tipped over, crashed on the ground. So
wow,
in hindsight, I should have packed less.
Wow. So you guys ship your bikes out there?
Yes.
Right. And how many days or weeks in advance did you have to do that?
They got picked up the second weekend in June, so like
it was like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks.
Okay,
but with these were like the first bikes that went on this 18-wheeler Moto Shippers, it's called.
Okay,
and then they were doing a lap around the country picking up scooters.
Yeah, we were
it was just stock full.
We were one of the first pickups. Yeah, and we'll probably be the last drop off.
Yeah,
wow.
And he stuck an air tag in it so he could check and see where it was every day. Watch it go across.
and they shipped it. They shipped it back to home too, as well.
Yeah.
It's not here yet.
I wonder if anybody. Well, of course, people on the West Coast, but I wonder if anybody rode to the start and rode home from the finish.
Yes. Definitely, people did.
Yeah. Wow.
Sure. Well, and usually, if it goes from East Coast to West Coast, most people will ship in one direction.
Yeah.
Like they'll get to the start or the finish, or and then ship in the other direction, but. a lot. I mean, we had to do it both ways. It was no way. Time-wise, it was no way. And I would not have sat on that scooter one more minute, honestly.
No, you're done, huh?
I still would have flown home and left it there.
I mean, the 300s can go on the highway and do 80.
Oh, sure. Yeah absolutely. Yeah. But
so
wow.
Riding to you from the event's not.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, how much did the shipping cost per bike?
Was it?
$1,200
per or
no,
total?
I
we tried to not remember that.
Right.
I understand.
It was one of those things you pay for and then delete the memory.
I totally understand.
I think it was either $1,200 per bike or $1,200 for two bikes. I feel like it was under $1,000 per bike.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
It'll make us happier.
Okay.
Did you guys have like any nerves going on or anything at the start of the ride?
I was excited. Yeah. I don't think I felt nervous. Because it was something that we've been talking about for 2 years, and we knew it was going to be long days, and we had all the hotels booked every night that we were coming in. They were already booked before we got there. And yeah, there wasn't anything really to be nervous about on the first day anyway.
And we've been through some of these areas on motorcycles on like interstates, and we were just so excited to do them on back roads, you know, and see them the slow way.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
which is really this event was about, you know.
Yeah. Run through me with the first day, the start, you know, the navigation, the route, and all. Run through the first day for me.
Navigation, similar to like the scavenger hunt rallies we do, they give you a GPX file.
Okay.
I had set up both scooters with a Garmin XT on the left side and then our phones on the right side so we could run other navigation on those if we wanted to.
Okay.
So they gave us day one 6 months in advance so we could practice building day one you knew what you were dealing with. So then the day before the event, they give you all the days. We built that. In the GPSs. So navigation was pretty simple and just worked really well. All the bonuses and checkpoints were loaded.
Okay.
So the checkpoints are mandatory. The bonuses are not. Bonuses are worth points. The more bonuses you get, the more points you get.
Of course.
The shorter your day is, the more points you get as well.
Okay.
We had originally planned to do a good amount of the bonuses, trying to avoid the dirt because 12-inch tires on dirt aren't really great.
Yeah, not so good.
Now, how many bonuses were there? Were there like multiple bonuses during the each day?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they took you off route. Some of them took you to really cool spots. Some of them not so much.
Did you, throughout the course of the days, did you eventually fall into some sort of rhythm?
We did, like, definitely morning routine was the same because we left the same time every day. So we were up at like 4:15 and we met our friends downstairs at 5 a.m. because we knew we had slow bikes and it was going to be a long day. And so we figured we'd get a head start. So we had a pretty good routine every morning. And the same thing like at gas stops, we had a pretty good routine down because, I mean, it was like NASCAR gas stops. Like you get gas, you go pee, you throw something into your mouth and you leave. And so, cause we wanted to just, you know, make the days as short as possible, even though they were 12 or 13 hour days every day.
Wow. 12 or 13 hours. Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was a lot. And no, like no lunch stops, just, you know, pee, gas, snack, go.
So you, did you snack on the bike while you were riding?
I mean, I struggled with that.
Because
it was cold, and so we had little tank bags, and we had like combos are like one of our favorite like road snacks.
Love combos.
Right? They're
combos
so
are
good.
Awesome.
Although I'm all set for quite a while now. but every time I try to get one, my gloves were too fat because it was cold, so I had like warmer gloves on, and I couldn't actually get it out of the tank bag. Like I lost, they kept falling on the floor of my scooter or they kept heading behind us. And then at one time I got one into my helmet and it fell and landed like down near my chin. Like it just, it was a process.
Oh, that's funny. So now I have to ask you though, I mean, as far as it goes for water and things like that, did you guys wear a camelback or something like that for your water?
Yes. Yeah. We had them strapped to the back of it. Like I didn't want it on my shoulders.
Okay.
So we just had it strapped. We had extra gas and our camelback strapped to the back seats.
Well, so your gas stops, you said you had extra gas, But yep. What kind of mileage do you get on those scooters?
So commuting, I get 99 miles per gallon, and damn. It holds like 1.5.
Yep.
So on this event, we saw running out of gas at 80 miles because of headwinds.
Well, and oh, because really? The first couple of days we were like, you know, pinned. They were pinned at 60, 59, 60. And we were just blowing through the gas. And we ran out, or he ran out multiple times.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I was in front, and I didn't have a windshield, which I don't think helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it. Well, I would. Now, the route, I have to. I'm what you're saying is you guys were on highways as well.
No.
No, really?
Nope. No. It was all back roads.
It's all back roads.
In Texas, a two-lane road that like I live on here in Amesbury is a 75 mile an hour speed limit.
Really?
So that was terrifying.
Yeah, I can think so. 75 on a two lane. Yeah. Man, that must be scary.
Crazy. Like a windy two lane. They weren't even that. I mean, some of them were windy, but I mean, majority of it, Texas was flat and straight, but some of the roads had a little bit of a wind to them at 75. And I was like, oh my gosh.
No crazy. Way. I would. Crazy. No way. Yeah, no way.
It's not great.
No.
Yeah. And with your lodging, was that all that? Was that arranged by the organization that run this, or is that your responsibility?
No, that was us. So they released all the host hotels back in January, and okay. Everywhere they booked, there was, you know, a bunch of like the chain hotels were all like in that little grouping right there. So if you didn't want to stay at that one, you could stay at the one next door or whatever. But so they released those in January, and we booked them all up. So we had them all set, so you didn't have to like worry about where you were staying. So that was quick and easy.
All right.
So you asked on day one, like how the first day went. So the scooter, it fell over first thing in the morning, right? Five o'clock in the morning, my scooter's on the ground and the gas is pouring out and my mirror broke, which I didn't realize at the time. I thought it was just loose. So he said his GPS worked great all week, but my GPS stopped working like the third day. And when it did work, it would flip forward because my mirror was broken and it was attached to that mirror. So it would keep falling down and the mirror would spin around and hit my windshield. And it was my left mirror. So the one you need, right, to see behind you. So I constantly pull it out, look to see what's behind me. I mean, we have headsets too, like communicators. So the four of us were on, which was great because our friends were behind us. So if there was something coming up, like our friends would say, you know, there's someone coming up by us.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
funny.
They were helpful in that respect. But yeah, like, so it started out with a bang for sure. And then there was rain and really super windy roads up in the, up in like Northern Oregon. And it was beautiful. And we were in like a rainforest. And it was gorgeous. And the roads were amazing. And then it just spread out from there.
Yep. Yeah. There was a photo, a group photo, at 6:30 on the first day, that was optional.
Right.
We knew we were on slow scooters, so we just got up at the first day. We were like, we're going to be rolling by 5 and skip that. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because okay. Now,
we knew that a 300 is going to finish the day like 2 hours, maybe 3 hours shorter than we are.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So already knowing the size of your bike has lengthened your day must have made you feel great. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then you add elevation, you know, which slows them down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you got to go through the Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
That must have been fun.
It was beautiful.
So when was the first issue, day two?
Your issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was day two.
So on day two, we realized that running them wide open causes CVT belts to explode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I had four belts with me, one spare variator and one spare clutch. And on day two, my belt exploded.
And then mine a couple hours
probably
later.
Probably 6 hours later, hers went. So we were running pretty much wide open, which is like 58 with a tailwind.
Wow, maybe. Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys create any traffic jams because you couldn't go that fast?
I mean, luckily we just pull over to the side.
I mean, by day two, we were still fine because the roads were of appropriate speed limit and they were kind of twisty and the scooters were.
Yeah, we did okay the first couple days.
But once the belt started exploding, we were like, oh, maybe we need to slow down. So we brought it down to like 53.
Yeah.
For the next multiple days.
Yeah. 53.
Do they have cruise control?
No.
But they don't have anything.
We don't even have hazards. There's no hazard lights.
We don't have our heated gear. We don't have our heated grips. We have nothing.
Oh, my God. Really?
Box seats.
Oh, it was a comedy.
Oh, my God. Now, you had mentioned checkpoints. Now, how many checkpoints were there each day?
So there were three mandatory checkpoints each day. Plus, you had to – so the day started, you had to take a picture – of the hotel, the host hotel, that was like starting the clock. There's a Scooty Cannonball app. And so you're on the app, you take the picture through the app, and that starts your clock for the day. And then there's three checkpoints during the day that you have to hit. And then you have to take a picture of the host hotel at the end of the day, and that stops your clock for the day. And then the bonus points were just extra that you could do along the route.
How many times did you forget to take the photo?
Never.
Oh, good.
No. We were good at that.
We're from the rally world. We got that.
Yeah. Oh, you got that. You got that down.
That part's easy. And I was a little disappointed in the pictures, like in the photos that they wanted us to take, because like we went to Roswell, New Mexico, and you would think there would have been like an alien picture or something cool to take.
Right.
And that wasn't it. I don't even remember what it was in Roswell, but it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything exciting.
No. Oh, wow.
I was a little disappointed. There were lots of silos in Idaho and in, was it Idaho? I think it was Idaho. There was like three different pictures of silos on one of the days in Idaho. And I just thought, I feel like we could have been a little more creative and have something nice to look at instead of a silo on the side of the road or a grain elevator or whatever it was. You know what I mean?
Well, how many miles per day did you guys average?
About 455. I mean, some days were 500, some days were 480.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long day in the saddle.
It is a long day. And once we started having mechanical issues, we started to skip the bonus points and just do the checkpoints. And so we were trying to get the mileage under 500 every day just because we were going so slow.
Yeah, I broke a third belt on day, what was it, day four?
Something like that, yeah.
And we determined that they're overheating, so we took the whole CVT, the transmission side cover off, and we bungeed them to our back seats.
Yep.
So that lets all the air through. So both pulleys are hanging out there in the wind.
Yep.
Wow.
And then when it rains, it's bad.
Oh, yeah.
How was the weather, though? Did you get a lot of rain?
We got so, so lucky. I mean, we had some really cold mornings, like 31 degrees in Idaho.
Really?
And that was a prolonged 31 degrees. Like, we had to stop and do jumping jacks because we were frozen and our hands were frozen solid. And then we didn't hit anything. I mean, even in Texas, it was like 93, 94. Yep. Like, we're so lucky.
Very lucky.
So lucky.
Wow.
Because, hot, and we did hit some thunderstorms in Texas, but we hit like the tail edge of them, so we didn't get full on wrath. And then there was some rain the very first morning, but it wasn't, it was like misty. It wasn't really like rain. We got really lucky weather wise.
No, that's
really
good. Lucky. Excellent. Yeah. You're riding through places like Idaho and some other remote places. Do you ever feel like you're lost?
Yes, we were lost.
Did you really?
Mexico. We were stuck in the oil fields over in, I don't know, Western.
Well, what led us there?
Oh, right.
So with my fuel issues, we had to constantly be watching gas on route. I don't know if you have a Garmin. Mm-hmm. You can turn on gas on route.
Yeah.
So I had to constantly be watching that. Because if there wasn't gas on route in like 80 miles, then we had to figure out something fast or I was going to run out.
Right. And we did have 4 extra gallons, like between the 4 of us.
Well, on day 3 we did.
When we
started losing belts, we offloaded all the weight on our 2 little bikes. Our gas cans went into someone else's truck that we knew.
Yeah.
So we didn't have fuel anymore. We were leeching off our friends.
Right.
more appropriate bikes.
They had ADV 160s, and they never ran out of gas, and they never had any riding issues, and they were rock stars behind us the whole time.
And they could have done 10 miles an hour faster.
They could have gotten in an hour earlier every single day.
I have to see, since you had the headsets and you guys were all communicating, chatting with each other. At any point, did you like feel like you're going stir crazy and just having fun conversations or?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Pretty much the last hour of every single day, we were all like
a little punch
tired,
drunk,
grumpy, barely functioning. and I like trying to just make noise so that we were all staying awake and alive, just to get to the end. Yeah,
I can imagine. So yeah. the scooters. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are lost, to go back to the question about being lost.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So when I didn't have gas en route in New Mexico, we were getting a bonus in an oil field, but it was just the tip of the oil field. We took a picture of whatever we needed to do. And like, there's no gas en route, so we have to figure something out. So I backtracked like 10 miles off route, and we end up in this town and there's no gas. So our friend, who's very analog, said, I'm going to go ask someone at a convenience store. I'm like, that's brilliant. I never would have thought of that. There was not on the internet. I got nothing. So he went in and asked, and they're like, oh, there's this oil field fleet pump that will accept credit cards. It's not really marked, but it's up the road.
And so it's not manned.
It was so weird. So we go up there, fill up the gas, and I'm like, oh, great. My GPS recalculated the route. We don't have to backtrack. So it recalculated the route. It put us in this oil field. I don't know if you watch Landman.
I haven't yet, no.
Not nearly as beautiful as it looks on that show.
No.
It was a hellscape.
It's a wasteland that smells so bad. And there's nothing. There's nothing for miles and miles and miles.
We just had to keep following it because there was no way out. And it was just depressing and smelly and trucks and...
Yeah.
For what, hours?
Hours.
It was way too long.
Plus, it was a Friday night, and we were guessing that the oil workers maybe work for the week and then go home on Friday night, because there's like lodging, you know, like they have those little trailer park things.
Yeah, yeah.
Set up for the workers, and I think that Friday night they must leave because it was like 3 o'clock on Friday night, and literally there's like intersections with stop signs, and there's 3 miles of a backup of cars like waiting to get out because they're leaving for the weekend. And so we're pulling in, and I felt like we needed one of those big giant flags like they use at big construction sites, so they would see us, because it was all 18 wheelers and big giant pickup trucks, and they were looking at us like we definitely were in the wrong place.
We're the first two-wheeled vehicles to ever be there.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it was not okay.
Let alone scooter.
It was awful. Really
now,
bad.
The route, because you guys went off route, and this spawned a question in my head. Was the route specific? You had to follow a specific route? No,
you just had to hit the checkpoint.
You just had to hit the checkpoint. So no matter how you got there, you got there.
Right.
Exactly. Wow.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Just, we were trying to get gas, and then we ended up, we looked afterwards because we have a spot tracker.
Yeah.
So you can see our route. We'll send it to you. So you can see our route. And there's that one little spot where we could have just gone back the 8 miles that we went out, and we would have been back where we were supposed to be. But instead we did like a 2-hour detour around through the oil fields, because they're grids. They're just grids.
Oh, and man. You can't
get out once you're in. So that I felt lost and scared, and and I wanted to be done.
Yeah, I can understand that. So of the two of you, who had the most mechanical issues?
I did.
You did.
That's because he rides like a hat.
He rides like a hat. I think I know where you're going with that. Okay.
Very rough.
Wow.
On, off.
I mean, it's got 13 horsepower.
Nothing smooth. He didn't have a windshield, so.
Oh, geez, that must have been brutal to do all that without a windshield.
Well, he gave.
Why didn't it was a charitable act? Why I didn't have a windshield?
He gave it to me because I was like, I don't need a windshield. And then we went somewhere beforehand, and I said, oh, I need a windshield, and it was too late for him to get one.
Oh, you couldn't have got an aftermarket one?
So,
well, that's what I did, but everything aftermarket for these scooters, you have to get on AliExpress, which is like a Chinese site.
Yeah.
And right around the time the tariffs happened, and I had a windshield on order, ready to go, and then the whole thing just poof, gone, and the link gone, windshield, you cannot, it's unobtainable.
Yeah.
So he gave me his windshield, but he definitely reminded me all week long that I had his windshield.
Oh, okay.
He didn't let me forget it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good. I assume it affected my fuel economy, or maybe just because I was leading.
I would have to say it probably did affect your fuel
economy.
We had 7 miles left to go, and his little e-light was flashing, which means he doesn't have 7 miles left. And I was like, so he's like, you get in front, and he drafted off me, and we made it to the gas station, and as we pulled in, he ran out of gas.
Oh, wow. Well... You said the fuel tank was 1.9 gallons.
1.5.
Yeah. And when that light comes on, how much do you have left in the tank?
Oh. We didn't do that kind of research.
That sounds like a cup.
Wow. There was not 12 miles left. It depends on what you're doing too. Like we were in elevation then too.
Oh, forget it. Yeah. What kind of elevations did you hit?
We got to 11,000 feet.
Ooh.
We did the $1 million highway.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I do know that at 11,000 feet, like anything you do, if you exert yourself in any way, or you just can't breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have 13 horsepower at that elevation.
No. Definitely did not. There was some traffic jams at that point because people couldn't go around because it was windy.
Yeah.
And there's no guardrail. So, yeah, it was a long, slow haul through there.
We might have been down to 8.
Wow. So you didn't have to change your tires at all, right?
We did not.
Oh, no.
Oh, good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. I only broke one belt.
Just belts. That was it.
Just
belts. And we were scrambling to get belt. Like I had my friend on the East Coast trying everywhere in the U.S. to get me belts, and he found some that were not right but would probably work. He had them shipped from California to Grand Junction.
Which is one of our next hotels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grand Junction. Did you guys go through Moab?
No.
No, you didn't. Oh, okay.
Wow. We were further east.
Well, Grand Junction is a cool little town. I like Grand Junction.
It is, yeah.
That's a really pretty neat little
town. Yeah, we've been through to Moab. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love it out there.
So what was your favorite part of the route?
My favorite part was, I think, the Sawtooth Mountain Range. Yeah. So that was on day 3 in Idaho. And there were snow-capped mountains, and they were beautiful. Yeah, wow. They were gorgeous.
Yeah, it's an underrated mountain range that you never hear about tucked up there.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of the name, but I can't say I've ever seen pictures of it.
They're very Teton-like, jagged and pointy. Yeah, really beautiful.
Wow, wow. So beautiful scenery. What about you, Bob? What was your favorite?
I don't really have a favorite. My favorite moment was we're driving in New Mexico, or Texas, and we're doing like 55, maybe 53 probably, because I wasn't 55, too risky on the belt. And I see something in the road. And it was a spider big enough to see at 53 miles an hour. So I turned around and I go back and I easily pick out this spider. It was like a tarantula.
It was a tarantula.
The road. It was so cool.
It was huge.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. Took a picture of it. It was awesome.
Wild. Yeah. It was literally like an inch and a half off the ground, like climbing.
That's crazy. Oh my God.
I've never been able to identify a spider.
He's on the headset going, "I'm stopping. I'm stopping." He's like yelling because all of us are just blah, blah, blah. Right? And so I'm like, all right, why are we stopping it? And then our friend behind me, she saw it, and she didn't want to say anything because she knows I don't like spiders. So she was like, holy shit, Bob, did you see that? I was like, oh, no. What was it? Yeah. So we all turned around. Although I didn't get very close, I did see it, and it was big and hairy.
Wow. Yeah. I think I would have to have stopped and seen that. That's
Yeah, that was really cool. We saw a snake in the road too, in New Mexico. Yeah. That was really cool. Yeah.
Snakes? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Also
I don't like it. But I thought it was cool.
Did you have a least favorite part of the ride?
Texas.
Why is that?
No scooter should ever set tire in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, we were in Texas 3 nights. We were in Pecos, which no bueno. I didn't like anything about that. And then we stayed in Kerrville, which was beautiful, like very hilly, mountainy, like hilly, not mountainy, but good twisty roads. Like that was really pretty. And then South Padre Island. And South Padre Island sounds really beautiful on paper, but it wasn't.
It's kind of Myrtle Beach-ish.
No, it wasn't.
You don't think?
No. I mean, we had to drive through like 50 miles of windmills and marsh, and there was just nothing. It was like it's a wildlife preserve or something.
But once you got there, it was Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, once you were there, I guess. Huh. I don't know. I don't know. I'm good with Texas.
So the last day, we kind of ramped up the speed because I'm like, oh, we have a belt left.
A belt.
Things removed. So we ramped it back up to like 58, 60, and like, what was it, 3-4 hours before the finish? Wow. I blew another belt.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have done better if you had bigger bikes?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. It would have been so much easier. Our days would have been shorter. it would have been exponentially easier.
It would have been great on a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course, that kind of like makes the, you know, scooter cannibal kind of a moot point. That
it
then,
right? Yeah. It does. That's true.
Are you keeping the scooters or you get rid of them?
Oh, we're keeping them.
Yeah,
but I'm not crossing like state lines with them.
But they do have a place.
Okay. Are you going to do the scooter cannonball again?
Never.
Really?
Never.
I would say unlikely myself as well. Mm-hmm. But if I did, it would be on a 300.
Yeah, I'm all set.
You're done?
If it was to leave Boston, Maine, maybe consider it.
Yeah.
I would be a chase vehicle for somebody.
Yeah.
Like a support vehicle, but I definitely would not.
You could
do it again.
Be a chase support vehicle for Bob.
I could, yep, if he wants to.
How come you wouldn't do it again?
Because I would rather travel on a motorcycle than a scooter.
Of
like
course,
The speeds were like, it was dangerous. We were getting passed by 18 wheelers, we were getting passed by other cars, and most people were thank God it wasn't New England, because we're massholes up here and we would not be patient for people to be in our way and going slow like that. And everybody that we ran into was really, really nice, and nobody seemed to have road rage, thankfully.
Yeah, I don't like the ride. Like on motorcycles, we tend to be, you know, faster than traffic. You're master of your own destiny.
Sure, of course. Yes.
Keeping the traffic behind you. And on the scooters, it's totally different riding style. It's defensive.
It's scary.
Right.
And you're at the mercy of cars behind you. And I'm not really comfortable with that.
No.
Understood.
You know, I didn't like that.
Well, let's you know, I've got the results here, but you know what's interesting? I don't actually see your names on here. You guys actually went by different rider names, didn't you?
Mine is Mass Cheryl and Mass Bob.
Oh, Mass Cheryl and Mass. Do you know where you finished?
It's kind of embarrassing.
After we started blowing belts, we really kind of nixed the bonuses and decided that.
We just wanted to get
getting
to Texas.
Getting to Texas would be a win. That's the logistics of not getting.
I see Mass Bob here, number.
Yep. Mass Charlotte is above Mass Bob in the rankings.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was your number was 237.
Yep, mine was 238.
Yours was 238. Really? I don't. Oh, wait a minute.
I was 137, I think.
Nope. No. Oh, there you are. You finished at 130.
Oh, there you go.
And Bob, you've 155.
Whoa!
I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah,
we did the stuff.
We were just so happy to finish. I didn't even care.
I didn't
look at what they gave me. I'm like, whatever.
It's weird because
when you check in at the end, like she was like, "Okay, you're missing this, and you're missing this, and blah blah blah," and I was like, "I don't. It doesn't matter. I don't care." And she's
you know,
like,
it's
are
interesting because
sure?
I'm looking at this and I see that on the day one, I guess what's the three digit numbers to the right of that? Is that the mileage per day or the points per day?
I would say points per day.
Okay, so because I see that Cheryl had less points than Bob on the first day.
Oh.
Yeah, on the second day.
Oh.
And on the second day, yeah, Bob had more points. So it's interesting why Cheryl finished first. But total points for you guys, for Cheryl, she finished with 2,397 total. And Bob.
Did you see that next to that? It's 97 hours on the clock.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. 97 hours.
And we're not stopping for meals during that time.
No. Wow. That was all
that
just
was
moving.
Pretty much seat time.
Right.
Wow. 97 hours. Holy crap.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
So you're not That's doing it again. Oh, bummer. Because I was hoping to have you on next year and just talk about it again.
Oh, yeah.
Just on a tiny little scooter. Yeah.
You can't do
What would it take to get you to do it again?
A bigger scooter.
Bigger scooter. Okay.
Go a little faster, and maybe not Texas.
Yeah, and they don't announce the route.
And it's every 2 years, so it'll be a couple of years.
All right, okay. There you go.
I think they announced the route probably 6 months in advance, like the rough route, so you knew.
Mm.
I think it was about 6 months in advance. They said it was going to be Oregon to Texas at least. You didn't know.
So you knew start and finish, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I would think it was a year.
It might have been.
Because we were coming home from Newfoundland.
Oh, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how can people learn more about your ride and the scooter cannonball?
What do they want to know now?
You have it up on Woodsum's Travels?
Well, they can go to Scooter Cannonball website and check all that out there.
Do that, Scooter Cannonball.
Yeah, we could send you our
we could send you the spot
link that has.
I definitely would love to see your track and see how you did that.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I've got little pictures along the way that I was taking with.
Did
my
you
phone.
Track? Did you track your ride in Rever at all, or any, one of the other ride apps?
Ours is similar. It's Spotwalla.
Oh, okay. You do Spotwalla. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
Any closing words for those interested in participating in this ride?
Make sure you know what you're getting into, because they're long days.
Yeah, I feel like some people sign up for the romance of the scooter and simplicity, but this is proper long distance motorcycling stuff.
Right.
This is not a scenic ride on a scooter.
No.
Like,
really? I have to imagine.
Before you sign up, do at least a 500 mile day on your scooter.
Yeah. See how your butt feels.
Well, excellent. Bob, Cheryl, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I appreciate you telling us all about your ride and how it went. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you when I'm done, but thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
The Motorcycle Man Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. If you would like to help and be a part of something that actually makes a difference, donate today to David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate. Links will also be in the show notes. And as always, the Gold Star Ride Foundation. We're helping families of fallen soldiers and making a difference in the lives of those left behind. So if you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Thank you for joining me, Bob and Cheryl, here in the V-Twin Cafe, where we talked about the Scooter Cannonball and their adventure. Now, you can learn more about the Scooter Cannonball by getting on over to www.scootercannonball.com. Links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. Don't forget to go over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel, watch some of the many videos I have there. And if you would please also like and subscribe, because that would be a tremendous help to the channel and, of course, the podcast. New videos are coming out soon. It's just been abysmally hot here in North Carolina, so we're going to get some stuff out to you. Hey, get your copy of my book, The Road Most Traveled, now direct from me on the Motorcycle Men website, and you can save nearly $8. Of course, it is still available on Amazon, but you can still get it from me, and if you want, I can even sign it for you. All right, for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening, and remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.